Positive Women's Network USA is a nationwide community of women living with HIV. Every day, PWN USA informs and mobilizes women living with HIV and allies to advocate for change that improve their lives and uphold their rights. They will provide you with the tools you need to make a difference and find your place in advocacy. To learn more about PWN, the difference they make, and how to get involved yourself, visit pwn-usa.org. That's pwn-usa.org. You can contact them at 510-698-3811 or info@pwn-usa.org.
Welcome to another episode of the ChayCast with your host, Tepicon, Steve, and Jay. Special guest, Ebony Turk. And now, the ChayCast.
Yeah, I caught it in Neanderthal thinking.
So, who wants to talk about this? I mean, just for that, all that you know, today was the day that the governor decided in Texas that the mask mandate was no longer important. So,
I mean, every time we open up the state, it's like after about 2 weeks, there's a spike, and then businesses are optimistic and they're excited to be opening, and then one of their employees catches the virus, or the turnout wasn't as big as they thought, so they had to let go of more people, and then since they can operate at full capacity, they may assume that that's going to happen, but it's not, and then they end up ordering extra, and they shut down. I mean, it's happened, what, 3 times already? I mean, I'm going to be surprised if cases go up and up and up and up again. And it's just, I don't know why. Like, the CDC even says don't do this, and Texas, or specifically the governor, is just like, nah, I won't listen to you, fam. It's all good. Like, I don't understand that logic when there's science behind it.
You said a word that doesn't mean a lot here in Texas to the governor. That's science. So, it's a strange time here in Texas. Legislation is back in session right now. And normally, I know that there's a lot of groups. I know that your group goes down there a lot. You guys go down there and you try to look at some big things that are on the legislation for this session. Can you kind of talk a little bit about how you guys are responding this year and what's going on?
Absolutely. So we have a group called Texas Strike Force. It is a group of Texans all across the state that mobilize around issues that affect us. And currently, we, of course, are an organization that serves people living with HIV. So we follow a lot of the if there's any bills that will affect people living with HIV, we will follow that. So currently there is a criminalization bill that we're following in the legislature that criminalizes people living with HIV that they reintroduced because of COVID, because it's considered a communicable disease bill. We also are following a few voter suppression bills because they're trying to, of course, suppress the vote in Texas. And we are following the budget because there was just a big brouhaha about the state actually kicked like 7,000 people off of the AIDS drug assistance program, which means that people living with HIV couldn't get their medicine. And we had to jump into action. And that was because they said they had a default in the budget. So we had to jump into action and do some advocacy with our coalitions and our members. And we did, and they reversed it until June anyway. So we're still advocating around it. But those are the three big issues that we're following in the legislature right now. I'll stop there because that was a lot. In case you had questions or you want to start with one, if I can tell you more.
I have one question. So you said that they had a bill that stopped people from getting their medication. And you guys managed to push that so that they get the medication until at least June, right?
Yeah. So that wasn't a bill. That was a part of the budget. And actually that issue was, that issue sat with the state, although it affects, it's a part of the HIV budget, which is a part of the Texas state budget. So we advocated with the state and the legislatures. We contacted our representatives and our senators and talked to them about it, educated them about the issue. There is a group that's in the state called the Texas Medication Advisory Board. They didn't even know about this, actually.
Oh, we lost Ebony. We'll be right back.
Taking care of your sexual wellness is now easier than ever with Telache. Our new online telehealth solution allows you the convenience of attending your appointment from any quiet, safe space. Check out checlinic.org/Telache to learn more about this virtual solution, get a glimpse at the patient experience, or book your appointment. Stay safe, stay sexy, and stay ready with Telache.
Yeah, you popped out, but then you popped back. You said you haven't experienced since the storm. What was the term that you called it before?
It was called the Snowmageddon.
The Snowmageddon. Yeah.
Or the Snowpocalypse.
Oh, the Snowpocalypse. So we lost you for a second. You froze in like this perfect position. Your hands were up like, da-da, like you're presenting a trophy.
Yes. I mean, all this is relative. Like the things that are going on in the legislature to the Snowmageddon to the mass mandate, it all relates. It's all like distraction after distraction after distraction. So our governor does not want us to know about these voter suppression bills in the legislature. Mm-hmm. He wants us to not be able, we can't do nothing about it because we're too busy trying to recover from the storm. And then now we're trying to fight over this mass mandate.
Right.
So I think people really need to be tuned in to what's happening in the Texas legislature. The one thing we didn't say at the top of the hour is the unique thing about the Texas legislature is it only meets on odd years. So right. Meets every other year, then it only meets for 140 days in the year.
Right.
And it's such a big state with so many issues that it needs it. Yeah. So that's very unique. But all of these things are happening. And we really need to be organizing to change our state leadership, because I believe like it's a new generation. Mm-hmm. And people are way more progressive thinking. People understand things more. People don't want to kill their residents. Like literally this governor is killing people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Completely agree. I mean, privatizing an electrical grid that left hundreds of thousands of people without power. It's just in a modern era. I mean, we were like, what, 4 minutes and like 20 something seconds away from a complete meltdown of the statewide grid. I mean, that would have been like a month worth of like trying to get that back. And I mean, we wouldn't even be able to do this podcast now if that happened. I mean, society would fail. I mean, think about it. The hospitals would fail. The grocery stores, all the refrigerators gone. Some people don't have gas, so they have electric, stoves. I mean, I just can't believe that just to avoid regulation that they would come, that Texas would come this far and let its people suffer, yet claiming that we would rather go 3 days plus without electricity than to have government intervene. That's just asinine.
Crazy. And then the storm uncovered so many other problems, like the infrastructure problems of people's homes and these apartment buildings. People actually, rent went up because of I'm not able to explain this clearly because I'm just now learning about it. But there's something where apartment builders, contractors, they get some kind of discount to build these complexes. And you go in and your rent is one thing, but after so long, after a year or something, you can raise the rent as much as you want, Well, the storm and that deadline met, and people's rents got skyrocketed this month.
Wow.
So people are being evicted, and they're letting people get evicted. You know, we hear about these moratoriums on evictions. No, people are literally getting evicted. People's pipes are still busted. People are still out of their homes. I had a friend call me while in the hospital because we were trying to make sure she was safe from the storm. But she was in the hospital with her father, who was dying of COVID. Her mother died of COVID 2 weeks beforehand. And her cousin, she got a call 2 hours before she called me that her cousin died. So whole families are being affected by COVID plus the storm. And now this mask mandate where people are going to be packed into places, not that they weren't before, because some things have been open and people have been packed into places with no masks, but people will now intentionally be packed into places.
Darn it.
Come on. Oh, man. That wasn't as graceful as the last one.
No,
but her again. We'll be right back. Boo.
Che Relief has been established by the Center for Health Empowerment to support the people of Honduras in the aftermath of Hurricanes Eta and Iota. We are currently taking material donations at our clinics and monetary donations through our GoFundMe. To learn more and support Che Relief's efforts in Honduras, visit us on Instagram where our handle is @CheClinic or our website, CheRelief.org. Thank you.
Oh, so we lost Ebony. Boo. Is that you knocking? Knocking on wood? Yeah, that was you, huh? Anyway, so, all right. So, well, let's continue the conversation when she gets back. I wanted her to talk a little bit more about Texas Strike Force and what they're working on right now. She had mentioned before that right now, the Texas legislation is in session. And in Texas, it happens every 2 years, which is, I mean, maybe that's commonplace. I thought that was kind of strange in itself. I see why they do it. For example, with cannabis reform. Right now, cannabis reform is something that people are trying to make happen here in Texas. I was down at the Capitol building in 2019 when they had it last, and they were trying to get things legalized. Yeah, so there's a group here in Texas called Texans for Responsible Marijuana Policy. Them along with Texas Normal go to and other groups as well, other cannabis related groups go to the state Capitol building and they try to follow the legislation through and try to talk to their respective representatives who's from your county or district to try to make sure this gets passed on the table. So in 2019, they were down there and they came out in force. And it's interesting, I saw a PWN down there too. They were also doing things and they came with a huge group. They had shirts on and they go and they talk to their senator. They talk to their congressperson. And they say, this matters to me, you know, and you're my representative. So make sure that my voice is heard. This year, I don't know how well it's going because of there's limited amount of people there because of the social distancing guidelines. And I don't think that a lot of the state representatives are taking and the U.S. representatives are taking constituents right now. No one's allowed to even go to their offices. So I'm curious to see how this is going to turn out. But with the mask mandate lifting and everything ending on March 10, it should work to our advantage. We should be all going down and talking to our state representative now. There's really no excuse. They can't say, well, we can't see anybody because according to the governor, yes, you can. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of all this. But I'm very doubtful that much will come out of it. Last year or 2019, they put forth a measure to legalize hemp, or correction, legalized CBD, and the purpose for it was to make sure that hemp was legalized so that it could be used for textile, you know, and they made it illegal to still smoke hemp in Texas. But some of the bill was designed to help with CBD related stuff. So you're still kind of this little tug back and forth, you know, this massive gray area, which is something that California managed to get rid of completely. Prop 215, I think is what it was called. It was the Adult Use Marijuana Act, was legalized 2016, 17, or 18, around that time period. I think it was 2016. And so it made it legal to have up to an ounce in California. And of course, you know, there's a lot of other changes that took place. But can you talk a little bit about that at all there, Tap? Like, what is it like to live in the land of the free?
Yeah. So let's see. I think it was what you mentioned, like a couple years ago, it became like fine for recreational. Mm-hmm. And for a couple years before that, medical was fine.
Right.
So during that phase, I actually went and got my medical marijuana card when that was the only way to access it. And that was pretty chill. The process of getting it was not difficult at all. And delivery sites opened up pretty fast. Dispensaries were opening up very fast. And then when it got legalized for recreational use a couple years ago, whenever that was, I think you said like 2017 or something. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's been nice. there's as many marijuana delivery apps as there are food delivery apps.
Wow, that must be nice.
Yeah, you got You got Postmates, Grubhub, and all that. But now you also have like I can't even name all of them. There's so many different ones. All with different brands and strands. All of the different varieties available as well. You got the bath salts that you use for actual baths. You got the beers, the gummies, the cookies, the flowers, of course. The taxes are high. It's noticeably high. As in much more than what they were before, like when they were just medical. Like I would purchase, my subtotal would be around like 60.
Right.
And I think I would end up paying like 100.
Wow.
This is to support it being legal and also fine. It's kind of a fine thing that I feel people are able to grow some of their own now. I'm not sure exactly how much. I think it's something like one plant.
That sucks.
So you can do something like that. I'm not too sure where that lies. I haven't had much interest in it. But the big thing is the decriminalization that is slowly happening of, you know, going back into people's records, people that are serving jail time for marijuana and decriminalizing that. And on the other side of that, the amount of gentrification that the weed industry has brought in is really surprising to me. I would go down to like Hollywood, like a nice part of Hollywood, and I would just see these really fancy, like, you go in and you feel like I'm going into a museum. Everything's in glass cases.
Wow.
You know, very, very minimalist architecture. I went and just asked, because I was just going to go see a friend. I'm like, oh, maybe I just let me bring them some edibles. Just like a cute little housewarming gift. Went in there and they were showing things to me from like this presentation. Like, oh, would you like a small sample from my engraved glass box. Like, I don't know. I just want like a cookie. Like, what? Can you just get me a few of those? Like, what kind from our artisanal brand? Like, y'all. I just want a cookie. It's like, okay, well, here's a $20 cookie. Like, oh my God.
That's some heavy artillery, man. My goodness.
Yeah. So like, it's nice if you like that bougie stuff, but also like it's becoming bougie. I mean, it's super bougie now. So it's not perfect, but I mean, the ease of getting it is great.
It's the first step. The ease of getting it was the first step.
Yeah, the ease of getting it, the lack of fear of having it and smoking it in public, the normalizing of it, successful. Now we just gotta like, get into the nitty gritty of like how it's actually being distributed.
And it's important for people in Austin in particular to pay attention to this, because I think the way that California, in particular LA, has gone is the way that Austin will go eventually, if and when it gets legalized. You know, the first step again is just taking it, you know, making it not a criminal act. And that's going to be the first phase. And that's what we're trying to get by with. And I personally have low expectations for this legislative period that it's going to come off the controlled substance, that it's going to be decriminalized is the term. Yeah. The best thing that could happen is on the grander scale, it takes for Congress to take it off the controlled substance list. That has to be the first step. And if that happened, I still believe in Texas and certain red states, not all red states, Oklahoma is pretty forward thinking, but in Texas for sure, they would try to figure out some way to still make it a crime, because they still see more of a profit in putting people in jail than they do in taxing it. That's just my belief.
These damn private prisons.
It's the land of the private. I mean, they believe in deregulating some things, you know, but they definitely like their private prisons here in Austin, in Texas, not Austin, but in Texas. They live off that.
It's funny you mentioned like Austin specifically, because I feel like out of all the major cities, Austin is by far the like the leanest on marijuana. I mean, you can have a gram in your car or on your possession and cops can't do anything in the city limits. And I mean, we have if you're old enough, you probably remember it as Marley Fest, but we have the Reggae Fest.
Yeah.
Every right around April 20th, you know, right around there. And there are people just smoking weed straight up in the concert, in the park.
Yeah.
It's a big thing too. And if you walk away from it at the right time, you can see a big cloud of pure love coming from that festival. And the cops there, they're all just like standing there with their sunglasses on, their little Oakleys, and they're just having like this grin with their arms crossed. Like,
yeah, great. They're grin.
So I just think that, I mean, Austin would probably be, if it's not a state thing, it'd probably be a city thing. And I'm sure Austin would be like, all right, fuck it. Oh, sorry. I'm sure we can touch on it.
It's okay. But yeah, I mean, I think Austin will be the first. But you know, I mean, the cops stand there, especially the constables are there, and at the, they used to call it the Marley Fest. I don't think they called that anymore.
Yeah, it's the Reggae Fest now.
The Reggae Festival. But they're there with a big old smile on their face, because they all have a contact high, because there's a giant cloud of smoke and they're just standing right in the middle of it. And they're like, you know, I've never felt this nice before.
They don't do anything. There's like, they literally are just there to make sure no one goes out of hand.
Yeah.
And people are literally just doing this, like the. Exactly. Pretty much. So, I mean, like I said, as far as the state thing, I'm not sure. I know Texas, or at least Austin, would probably be like, no, we don't care. But you never know. Then Abbott could be like, no, we're taking that away from y'all. They did that with bags. Yeah. Not being able to have plastic bags, and then we're doing great. We were doing just fine without them. And then Abbott's like, nope, you guys need bags.
All right. Well, let's take a little break and we'll come back and we'll see if he's back yet. But I still don't see her anywhere. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Looking for a pharmacy partner with expertise in sexual health, PrEP, HIV, or gender affirming care? AVITA's specially certified pharmacy teams understand how to address the needs of communities who are most affected by complex health conditions and who often face very unique challenges in healthcare. Our teams work hard behind the scenes to coordinate your refills, work with your insurance, and enroll you in any financial assistance programs you qualify for. We want our patients to feel deeply understood, cared for, and empowered to reach their full potential for health. With AVITA, you get the compassionate care you deserve. To learn more about PrEP for your sexual health, visit avitapharmacy.com/prep. That's A-V-I-T-A pharmacy.com/PREP.
Okay, so again, shout out to Texas Strike Force. Shout out to Positive Women's Network, PWN. And a shout out to cannabis, ganja, cannabossum. I don't like the M word. The M word is like, I think it's government name, but I prefer cannabis. What do you call it there, Tap?
That dank.
That dank. Yep.
Weed.
That was good. What do you call it, Jay?
We call it loud. All right, if it's really dank, we call it that stupid loud.
Stupid loud. Yeah.
Like, have you ever been on a bus and you're like, damn, that guy is like stupid loud. And people are like, he's not even saying anything. He's like, no, he's saying a lot. Just take it all in.
And
that's stupid loud.
Speaking of kind of what you were talking about earlier, you know, it's still such a interesting response of like when I'm out just walking at like a park or something and you get that whiff that you're like, okay, there's weed in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And my old reaction would be like, unless I was at a festival or a music concert, be like, oh no, there's weed somewhere. There's evil doers about. I'm like, oh wait, no, that's fine now. This is fine. People in my apartment building, you can tell which rooms smoke.
Right.
You walk by their door and you're like, oh, this is fine now too.
Right.
Okay. Like rewiring your mind of just like, this is fine. This is not illegal anymore. We can just do this without fear.
The best thing I ever experienced was the first time I ever went up to what's called the Emerald Triangle. It could be like Mendocino. I think actually for me, it was actually, I drove up the 5 and I wound up in a place called Lake County. I was visiting a friend of mine and I got out of the car and you could smell ganja it was just like in the air you're outside and there's just so many people growing it that the smell in the air is just like, and you can't tell where it's coming from because everybody's house was growing like plants. And I was like, holy mackerel. And I see why they call this place the Emerald Triangle now. But that was one of the coolest experiences to being up there. And of course, I grew up in San Francisco. Here in Austin, there is the reggae festival. I mean, any place you go down there, it's like 30,000 people strong. And of those 30,000, easy 28,000 are smoking it up, blazing it. And it's just like a nice little mixture of everything, you know. It smells so nice.
And everything from Blue Dream to Sweet Tooth. And Swag in the middle.
It's yep.
just an endless cloud of happiness. It's a cloud of love.
So, but there are different kinds, like especially, so since California went legal, so before there was Prop 215, and Prop 215 was designed to make medical cannabis legal for patients. And the way that it worked is that you had a medical card. You can go to any doctor, like you could go to your doctor and say, I have insomnia. Or I have chronic pain, and he would prescribe you just medical marijuana, not a particular strain, just medical marijuana in general. And then you could take that to a dispensary, and then you get there and the dispensary people will tell you, okay, you know, that's really who you talk to. It's called a bud tender. And the bud tender, see, the bud tender's changed, and you were kind of talking about your experience, Tap, but the way that it used to be, it used to be there was usually some dude there, and he's been growing since he was 16. He's like in his 30s now, and he knew every single strain. And he would say, so what do you have? And you go, I've got glaucoma. He goes, these strains right here, this is what you need for glaucoma. But he would talk in this terminology like, you know, dank this, blah, blah. And a lot of times, if you were in the game, you knew what he was talking about. But if you didn't, you weren't really sure what he was talking about. And he would try to line you up with the strain that worked best for your ailment. And now, of course, it's a different level. It's called, the proposition was called the Adult Use Marijuana Act. And what it was designed to do was to legalize cannabis, not for medical use, but for adult use. And it really goes back almost to Governor Schwarzenegger, the governator. And the governator was the first one to say, you know, he used cannabis. He blazed a lot. And he was like, you know, doesn't kill you, you know. And so he decided to decriminalize it to the degree that you could have up to an ounce and not get in trouble for it. And believe it or not, when the Attorney General came in, that was Kamala Harris. She fought that. She came right behind him and she was like, this is stupid. Why do I want this? But she came on board later on. We won't get into it. She's VP now. So you gotta be nice about it. But she was one of the ones that made it difficult, and they were against this. And what ended up happening was this prop came down, proposition, and the proposition was for adult use, which is completely different than medical use. So adult use is like 17%. Adult use is not about you're using it because you want to. You're a human being. You have rights and liberty and the pursuit of happiness in America, allegedly. And so adult use is, I'm an adult, and I want to use this because I'm an adult. And I don't need a medical marijuana card. I don't need an excuse. I just need to get my weed, man. And that's what we have in California now. And so the bud tenders have changed. Usually now it's some little cutie pie there. And she's like, oh my God, you should try this one because it smells nice. And she'll give you a little story. But in my personal opinion, they're not as knowledgeable as they used to be. Because it's really not about medical use anymore. It's about what makes you happy. Like this is called Blue Dream. Why is it called Blue Dream? Because it makes you feel blue and dreamy. That's not where Blue Dream came from. Blue Dream was two strains mixed together. Blueberry crossed with Blue Dream, crossed with Haze, and that created Blue Dream. And so farmers know this, growers know this, but a lot of people don't. So that's the new field that we're in. The names are changing even. The names are changing now. There's like Lyft, there's like Happiness, and all these new strains are kind of coming out, and they're rebranding them because it's not really about the breeder anymore. It's about the end user. So the packaging is really pretty. You know, it's about the smell. It's nice and sweet smelling. And so this is a whole new field. And then edibles. Like you mentioned cookies. It used to be like 1,000 grams would knock you on your boo-boo. If someone gave you 1,000-gram cookie, you'd be regretting that one there, Tad. You would regret that. So it's a whole different game now. You know, people just want to have fun, just want to get a little, they're not trying to medicate to take away pain. They're trying just to be happy. So, and there's no more fear. And that's the thing I like about this. All the fear is gone. You can go out there and just kind of smoke and have fun. So are you an edible guy? Are you a flower guy? You mentioned bath salts, Tap. Really?
You know, I wanted to try those, like, oh, soaking. I take lots of baths. Let me just put that out there. I'm a full on bath bomb kind of person. I love just dropping stuff into a bathtub, making it look like I'm entering another dimension and then staying there. And yeah, there's CBD or THC. Yeah. Like bath salts. There's like those patches and soaks and lotions and all those. It's like, and the CBD, which is a little, I mean, it's because it's legal, I suppose. But like the whole CBD industry is a whole nother conversation of like,
right.
Why does everything have CBD in them now? It is kind of overwhelming.
Yeah. Now it is. And there was a big change because when the CBD market came out in California, it hit there first because CBD technically isn't THC. Right. And THC is on the controlled substance list. So if it has mainly CBD in it, and CBD has a lot of healing qualities that we're just barely beginning to understand, because one of the biggest problems is the research. Congress doesn't give the money to do the proper research. So only private corporations really do it. And so we're just getting caught up on the research. But yeah, CBD is a whole new market, but CBD has health benefits that, and again, you have patches now, you know, you can soak in it. You have oils that you can put on your body for it. So it's a brand new world, so to speak.
Yeah. And to answer your earlier question, I like edibles. Those are easy, but I do have one of those pens.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm not going to advertise them or anything, but there was this one that released in January of this year, and it was talking a lot about how like the vaping industry, which is, you know, within a Venn diagram with the weed industry, because you can vape
weed,
you know, is going through a lot, and especially about like fake cartridges and like bad vaping. And such. And so this new one that came out was all about like safety and knowing exactly what you're intaking. There's an app that it's connected to that if you take a hit while you have the app on, it tells you exactly how much THC, CBD, and what is the word, terpenes?
Terpenes.
Terpenes, like how much you're ingesting per hit. And exactly like where your cartridge was certified from, and all these other big number things. I'm like, oh my God, there's so much here, but that's also cool. Like I feel safer.
Yes.
Using this.
Yep.
There's so many numbers here that I'm not going to as a very casual user, I don't know half the words they're talking about. I just see like, okay, I did that for 2 seconds. That was 1.5 milligrams of THC. That is what I know. I like seeing the app give me numbers like that. I'm good.
I mean, you nailed it. Safety. Safety comes in different levels. There's the safety of knowing you're not going to get arrested, but then there's the safety of knowing that what you're taking isn't harmful for your body. Because a lot of times with the vape pens, there were some problems there for a while with it. It was doing a lot of lung damage.
Yeah.
Because they were mixing with all these other chemicals. So it's nice when you get more regulation in that sense, because the goal is to make sure that it's not destroying your body.
Right. And I want to stick with them because I personally just hate fire. I'm really bad with lighting things. A lighter in my hand is just one of the most anxiety-inducing things I can do. And so anyway, I can do this without that is something I like to explore, which I like exploring all these things. I have a friend, you know, that doesn't drink alcohol, but so I bought them a six-pack of THC, carbonated beverage, and they are all for it. And I've had a few too, and they're great.
All right, let's take a little break. We'll be right back.
With QCare Plus, you can now get PrEP prescribed online and delivered discreetly to your door. Our team of experts makes access to PrEP convenient and easy with online doctor visits and at-home labs. 99% of our patients pay $0 for PrEP. Prepped and ready to go with QCarePlus.com.
Damn THC beer. Well, actually, no, I don't like the THC vodka because beer has too many carbs.
All right, we're back. Yeah. You mentioned alcohol before. Did you say vodka? THC vodka?
That's what I want. I mean, I like my Deep Eddy Lemon, and I like to get a little bit of flowers on. So it's the legal weed here in Texas.
Tap, you mentioned beverage. Have you tried the beverages yet? THC beverage?
I've tried the THC beverages, and they're great. They're good in between of like they happen faster than the edibles,
right,
do, but not as fast as like actually just smoking does.
So there's an alcohol based one that you can take. It gets you drunk, and it hits hard. It hits hard. There is the beverage one, which has no alcohol in it. It's just a beverage. There is edibles. There's also like a Listerine kind that you can take and put underneath your tongue.
Oh yeah, like those like, little patch, not patches, but like
yeah, the little sheets.
Yeah, those little sheets. Those little.
I'm holding my hand. Bring that commercial back where it's like I take a sheet by the pool. I love that.
I take a sheet by the pool is rather in the pool. There's flowers, but even with flowers, so there's natural flower. My preferred technique is two things: flower and cold water hash. Those are my two favorite. There's flowers, which is there's so many varieties. There's indica. Well, really, there's indica, there's sativa, and then there is hybrids. And you have no idea what you're getting with a hybrid. And then there's cold water hash. You guys mention for cold water hash? Love. So cold water hash is one. Cold water hash goes back to ancient times. It's one of the most best and tried and proven methods of using it. And then there's also kief. You familiar with kief?
Yes. So, I use that in my coffee grinds when you do over a percolator.
Yeah,
that'd like be French, or what do they call it? French press or something like that. Yeah.
All kief is there's trichomes in the plant. Hang on. There's trichomes in the plant, and if you shake those trichomes in a screen or anything, the trichomes break off and they fall out. And it's like this green. Sometimes it's like a golden, depending on what kind of flower it is. That's the kief. There's no processing to it. And then, of course, there is it's called a non-solvent or press. And there's a press you get, and you take the press. You can either press the buds, you can press the kief, you can press the cold water hash, and you press that, and that's when all the oils come out. And there's that level. And then, of course, there is it's called BHO, which is butane hash oil. Have you heard of that? That's like they use butane to try to extract the THC, and it makes like a waxy substance. People use like rigs to burn it up in that. And then the very last level is really terpene separation. You mentioned terpenes earlier on the meter thing that you have. So that's what it registers. And terpenes, cannabis terpenes are where there's the smell and the taste come into. Mm-hmm. And like you have a taste in your mouth, it's almost like a smell, like you can taste the flower in it. Those are the terpenes, which is the best part of it. Oh my God, so good. So good. But again, intaking all this is the key. Like in my studies of it, smoking using vapors, like vape pens, or burning it up with a rig, you know, so it's just the hash oil. They usually use like a hot nail or they heat up like a little small cup or something like that. And then they put the oils in that and it turns into a vapor form. That's the harshest on your lungs because we don't fully understand it. You're separating the trichome tip. And so a lot of times it can maybe get caught in your lungs. And there's still a lot of study that needs to be done on that. But it'll get you the highest though. You will be high as a mother using that. Pardon my French. I'm proud to beat that one out. But it's the one that gets you the highest, except for edibles. Edibles gets you the highest. But do you know that when you do edibles, it changes from the THC? Like you can't, they say that you can't overdose on cannabis, but I guarantee if you eat enough edibles, it'll make you see the dark side. The one when you can overdose on cannabis is cannabis honey. If you cannabis honey, when bees, so if bees go and I'm not 100% sure of this, I'm like 99% sure, but you can put buds by bees. Bees will get onto the buds. They absorb it. They do their thing. They pick it up. They take it back to the hive, and it's in the honey. And there's a little trigger in cannabis that turns it off in your system so that you can't overdose. When it's processed through the bee's body, that trigger is turned off. So if you eat too much of it, you can overdose on honey, but it's a pretty expensive way to die. But that stuff costs a lot. But for the most part, if you're smoking it, no matter how much you smoke, you won't overdose. You'll pass out. You'll go to sleep. Good night, night. So I'm all for cannabis use, for adult use, and definitely for medical. My concern with adult use is that it's taking away from the medical field. I think personally, cannabis should be there, number one, for medical patients. Whether it's for, if you're on chemotherapy, it helps a lot. If you're chronic pain, all sorts of different things. There's a list of all the different things it can be used for. And my concern is that we're going to start heading away from that. Like medical use is going to go away and that everything's going to be adult use. Do you guys have any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, like when we got it legal for adult use, they did. I remember reading of like, because I did have a medical use card. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, you know, these are places you can get it just for general use, but places for medical use still exist and you can go there and they still specialize in that and the taxes will be different as well. And,
right.
Sure. I don't know how to find them. I can't find these places. I know they exist, but I think I might agree. Like I don't know how to access them.
Yeah. I mean, it's about supply and demand. And if the greater demand, if they're making it tough to get medical cards, before people had to get a medical card, now they don't have to.
Right.
And so the result is less stores, less owners are going to be interested in having medical cannabis because why? There's a smaller market. You know, that's how all this even got here to begin with, you know, was through the medical market. And now the medical market is being pushed out and being pushed away. I don't think they're taxing them as heavy as they are adult use.
Right.
But I still don't think we should be taxing medical patients. Matter of fact, I think it should be free for medical patients. The state should pay for that out of the funds being raised for adult use. That's my take on it. And it'll be interesting. So the reason why California matters on this matter is because other states are going to go legal and eventually Texas will. And I'm curious to see how Texas is going to respond to it. You know, I don't want to see what's happening in California happening here in Texas, personally. I'm not, like, I get adult use, but we have to put patients ahead of everybody else. And that's what I want to see Texas do. I want to see them guard patients, have medicine for patients, easy access for patients, safe access for patients, before we're worrying about everything else.
Well, if the last couple days have proved anything, Texas is unpredictable.
Yeah, Texas is unpredictable. I mean, if it doesn't make a dollar for them, sometimes it just doesn't make sense to them. And that's my concern is that helping patients doesn't make money. You know, it's called Compassionate Use Act. And so there's just no compassion a lot of times with certain things in Texas. What are your thoughts on that, Jake, real quick?
I mean, it's kind of like when they legalized gay marriage, when there were more Americans around a state that supported gay marriage, eventually the Obama administration just said, screw it, we're going to legalize gay marriage across the U.S. So I wonder if that's what's going to happen here with marijuana as more states are turning green and are starting to surround Texas, including how New Mexico, I think, allows marijuana now. I mean, it's just going to look really awkward to see a big state not do it or follow suit unless, you know, they're forced to.
Yeah.
I do believe, like I said, if the state were to legalize weed, I feel like Austin would probably be the first place they would start, being that it is the capital. Mm-hmm. But that would just really show the state and the capital, like, you know, we don't care. We're going to do it anyways. We're adults. We're grown. it's way healthier than alcohol and cigarettes, and it should be legal.
Yeah, it's a good point. So we will see what happens. And that's a good point. Austin will probably be leading the way on that. And so we just got to keep putting the pressure on there. All right. Well, we never got E back. So let's go on and take a little break here. Try one more time. And then we're going to do some final thoughts.
To learn more about Che Relief, visit us on Instagram where our handle is @CheClinic or our website, CheRelief.org. Thank you.
Taking care of your sexual wellness is now easier than ever with Teleche. Our new online telehealth solution allows you the convenience of attending your appointment from any quiet, safe space. Check out checlinic.org/teleche to learn more about this virtual solution, get a glimpse at the patient experience, or book your appointment. Stay safe, stay sexy, and stay ready with Teleche.
All right, that was nice. You looked like you had a nice, stretch their tap. You reminded me of one of those cats that was like,
well, I'm 2 hours earlier here, so I'm still waking up.
Oh, it's all good. Good for you. All right. So, final thoughts on this. We started this conversation now with talking with Ebony with PWN, and then we lost her. So I want to have her back again because she's talking about what's going on here in Austin right now. And it is Texas legislation is in session. And she has a group called Texas Strike Force who really try to make sure that we're paying attention to a lot of this legislation, you know, and it's my opinion too, but she pointed out that she thinks this whole mask mandate, the reason why the governor is trying to end it right now is to, as a distraction. You know, now people are arguing about that, and then all these other things on the legislature just slip right through the cracks. So let's not be caught slipping. Let's not let him pass things that should not be passed. Let's start calling out, call your congressman, call your senator. Make sure that your voice is being heard. Check what's being voted on right now. Don't let them slip one by us. As far as cannabis goes, cannabis is on the ballot here in Texas. It needs to be as free as California, at least as free as California. California has the Adult Use Marijuana Act, and it's still heavily flawed. You should read it. It still doesn't completely, you can have an ounce for free, but if you have a pound, they're going to try to put you in jail still. They're putting a lot of this money isn't going back into the community. It's going toward law enforcement. It's going into war rehab for kids. Rehab for cannabis, it takes you 3 days and you're done. And so all this money is being absorbed into other programs and being mismanaged out in California. And Texans, you need to be on it to make sure that when it comes here and gets legalized, it's the first step, but that we make sure that this is about the people. It's about the compassion for patients and for adult use because we're adults. So those are my quick thoughts about it. I want to talk about more of this later on, but I'm going to pass the mic over there to you, Jay.
So I think you're completely right. As when the day comes for Texas to legalize it, whether it's through peer pressure from other states or its people, I think it's very important that we recognize that these funds could be used for better things, maybe an electrical grid, a better one, maybe for infrastructure, for housing, public education, for rehab centers, for HIV prevention, for arts, science. I mean, the list goes on. It also should be noted that as adults, we should also be responsible when indulging or partaking in marijuana. We shouldn't treat it any different than alcohol. I mean, of course, the effects are going to be different and obviously it's a lot healthier. However, I think as the legalization process comes eventually, hopefully soon, sooner than later, that we act accordingly and we be all adults about it, you know?
Yeah, I think... pay attention to your local legislation. It matters a lot what happens locally. especially when we're talking about like, yeah, these things work in California, these things work in Texas. You know, I know I always had that feeling of, especially being in California, like, oh, government stuff, politics, that's so far away. DC is literally on the other side of the country. But then you start getting involved in some local things. Your local vote matters. This is controversial to say, but like your votes for local things matter so much more than they do for like the big stuff. I would say like, I mean, your vote for president and things like that do matter, but like your local votes, like that's where one vote really can just make a difference. And it's a lot easier to affect things in a smaller local scale. Go to your local strike force. Join just like a, if you're like me, I just join a Democratic club around my area. There's a mailing list. You go once a month. Even if you don't go that month, you still get update on everything going on and like that's and what you can do to help. There's so many ways to make an impact and know and shape the community that you live in the way that you think is right. So don't be so intimidated by the big world of government and politics and legislation. There's absolutely things you can do.
I agree. Be the grass. Be the roots in the grass. Be that grassroots movement in your area. And feel free to smoke grass. Go hand in hand. All right, guys. And everyone out there, thank you guys for listening to us. Again, get involved in your community. Stay active. And if you don't know, just ask somebody. I'm sure there's plenty out there, like Tapper Khan was saying. Tap, thank you for joining us. Jay, it's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Enjoy the apocalypse, everyone. Bye, y'all.
Later.
See ya.
That's our show. Thank you for listening. Please like and share. Get out there, have some fun. Day